Okay, we're at the beginning of Siman Sadivav, and last time we spoke about a general overview about Davar Charif, and today we're going to dive into Ducha de Sakina, one of the main dinim that we learned from that has to do with Davar Charif. Today will be the first of two Emir Teshem parts about Ducha de Sakina. So, when we spoke about Davar Charif in general, we saw that the primary source from it is a Gemara, that says that if you take something hard and you cut a hard davar charif with a knife, then time transfers even if there's no heat. That we spoke about that Gemara Chulin, Kafir Alf and Beis, Kafir Beis and Valf, about davar charif. And there, we only focus on the davar charif parts of the Gemara over there. But really, the truth is that the Gemara says some other things also about things that are cut with a knife. And before I tell you what those are, first, I have to just tell you that Rashi says that one of the reasons, we're going to talk about this later, which is one of the reasons for the Chumra Ducha de Sakina is that we assume that knives are not cleaned as well. And therefore, we always have an amount of grease or food left on the knife. And that's that layer, that extra grease that's in that end that's in there is what's absorbed into the Davar Charif when you cut something with a knife. Okay, so we'll talk about that more coming up. But for now, let's just keep in mind this idea that there's assumed that a knife has some grease on it, left over on it, and that has to do with the din of the Davar Charif. Now, we'll talk later today, Mr. Shem, about whether that's true nowadays. Should we actually be concerned about that? But for now, we're going to work with the assumption, like the Gemara says, a knife is assumed to have been on it. So the Gemara says, now that we know this idea, that the Gemara has a knife on, has a menah, the Gemara says now a few different cases. We're going to be explaining the Gemara the way the Ron says it, the way the Shach brings it. Many bring this pshat. There's alternate explanation that the Ramah, the Teres Hatas, brings from Israel to a completely different pshat in this Gemara. But we're going to do it the way most people learn, the way the Ron. And we're also not going to bring every case of the Gemara. The Gemara has a whole special din about Alethis and Selet, which we're not going to talk about. I mean, it's important to Sechonar, but that's not so relevant for us. And first, like this. If you take a flashing knife, and you cut lettuce, a turnip, or beets, okay, that's what we saw last time, a turnip, you could eat that with milk, they're not a charif, and all you have to do is, you do have to rinse off the place where you did the cutting. That is to say, there's no blia because it's not charif, but some of that grease that was on the knife does get stuck onto the edge of the turnips, and therefore we need to rinse them off. Okay, so the other place can say that the point here is that the lefes, the turnips, are hard, and when you cut them, they're very hard. They're hard enough that's considered duchat sakina, and they're also so hard that when you cut something, the grease gets stuck on the outside of them, and therefore you need to do you do hadacha. So the Aruch Shulchan says the same thing is for carrots. He has another thing, which is a bruska, which he always puts together with carrots and turnips. I'm not sure what it means. I'm wondering if it maybe means rutabaga. But anyhow, so carrots, because it's also hard. And we could add some other things that are hard, but then also, I'm saying all these things that are hard in contrast to some soft things I'm going to say in a second, but I could add them. Other hard things are other vegetables that are hard, kohlrabi and parsnips, and potatoes or sweet potatoes, when I meant those two that are when they're raw, and the stalk part of a broccoli or cauliflower. Okay? So that's one group of things that the Gemara says if you cut a lettuce with a knife. And then the Gemara says, what happens if you cut quiches or cucumbers, so last time it's cucumbers, and you cut that with a knife, then you could eat that with milchigs. You could eat it with milchigs. Again, it's not harf again. You could eat it with milchigs. But you have to scrape off on some of the area where they with the knife cut. You have to do gray raw. You have to scrape off, shave down a little bit at that area. Now, cucumbers also not harf, and they don't absorb any of the end. They don't absorb any of them, but there's some get stuck on the outside of it. But you can't do hadacha because, we'll say the word is because they're soft, okay? The word that the Ran uses, he says, shemitech lachusam, yeshel ladechaisam, da'adra ba'ideh hadacha nisrach behem yoser. There's a softness, or we'd say maybe a sponginess or a moistness, something, I'm not sure the great word to translate the word lachusam, I'll use the word soft. Since they're soft, what will happen is if you rinse them, that might push some of the grease from the knife that got stuck onto them might push it into the cucumber, so you're sort of defeating the purpose. So you need to do greira, scrape off a layer in order to get the, make sure you've gotten all the end off of there. So to both of these things, the hard double harf or the soft double harf, they need hadacha or greira. I'm sorry, the hard not harf or the soft not harf, they need hadacha or greira. This is not a double harf. There's no blia getting into this thing. But we need to do something to get rid of the be'en, because the be'en on the knife is there, even though it's not harf, it's still there anyhow. So later place can give other examples that have to do that have the same that applies, and that you have to glare for. I'll mention a few of them. I'll mention the ones that I know of. One is bread. Okay, also again, if you think about it, it's like, I don't know if the word porous is exactly right, but things get stuck into them. The Rambam says watermelon. Daruch HaShulchan says cabbage. Now, the cabbage is a little bit of an interesting one. When he says cabbage is not soft. It's not porous or anything like that. So I'm thinking that what he means is when he says cabbage, he means that if you slice, take a head of cabbage and you slice across it, so it's got a million, like, folds, all the layers of the cabbage. So the problem is that the grease will go into the folds. So the cabbage per se, each leaf of cabbage is not soft. There's nothing soft about that at all. But the places where there's where food gets trapped between the layers, okay, and that for our purposes that's just as good. Okay, that's cabbage. And then the Aruch HaShulchan also says pumpkins, kirbis, pumpkins. Now, pumpkins, again, the flesh, the pulp of the pumpkin also doesn't seem to me to be soft. At least when I tried it, it didn't seem to me like that soft. And then there's the inside of the pumpkin, the center of the pumpkin, the fibrous strands that are in the middle, of course, those are soft and spongy for sure, and they absorb. But at least nowadays, nobody eats that part. So I was thinking that maybe what he means is it's the soft area that's between the pulp and these fibrous strands. It's like there's like a place where they meet each other, so to speak. And that part of the taco would qualify. I hear that as being a soft, unless he meant cooked pumpkin. Everything else is raw, so unless he meant cooked, I'm guessing he means that area where the pulp, the thick part of the main part that you eat of the pumpkin, comes and meets the fibrous strands. Maybe that's what he's talking about so far. Okay. Now there's some other cases, meat and fish and cheese, we'll talk about in a minute. We'll get to those in a second. Other cases that might go this. Yeah, so those are cases that the Poskim that I know of mention as being soft foods. So then I had the other ones that I thought might also qualify also, and those include avocado. I'm going to say in alphabetical order. Avocado and broccoli or cauliflower florets. And those I thought of as being exactly the same as the cabbage that I said before, and about the Aruch HaShulchan says that cabbage, it's not the cabbage per se, the way I understood it, it's the layers between them, so florets of broccoli or cauliflower are the same thing. It's got a million little holes where the grease could get stuck into them, so we'd have to do greira. I thought about grapes and hearts of palm, that means from a can, kiwi, lettuce, which is like cabbage, mangoes, all kinds of melons, orange, tomatoes, and if you had cooked potatoes or sweet potatoes. So those are other foods where they're hard enough to need to have duch of the sakina, but they are soft enough that we'd say hadach is not going to work, and a person's going to have to do greira in order to get the end off from the point where the cutting was done. Now, the Gemara, when it talked about doing, talked about when you quote a davar charef, let's go back for a second to davar charef, there, the Gemara doesn't say how deep the tongue goes in. It just says this, you can't eat it with milk. It doesn't say how much tongue goes in. It's not like Hadach and Greira, that it's a little more clear what you have to do. So is Machlokes Rishonim, how deep it goes in. The Mechaber says it goes in Kedein Atila. Kedein Atila is approximately an inch. And the Ramah says that you should be Machmir for the Shita that says it goes Kedein Kuloi, that when you cut it, the tongue goes all the way through to the radish or the onion or something like that, as if they were hot. Okay, so Machlokes, the Ramah says we should be Machmir the Chatchila to say it goes Kedein Kuloi. Now, after you heard all that I've read so far from this Gemara in Chulin, on Kufi Dalaf and Kufi Beis, if we had to think of where to put meat and fish and cheese, or at least most cheese, when I say cheese, I'm talking about like mozzarella cheese or, cheddar cheese, a hard cheese, but we, lafouque, soft cheeses, that are very soft, and those are not duchen zakina at all. Like cottage cheese, there's no duchen zakina. And on the other hand, like the Parmesan cheese, it is so hard that there's no softness in it at all. There's no need for gravy at all. But regular, we'll call like an American, not American cheese, not a good example of cheddar cheese or mozzarella cheese, and meat and fish. So we would think, and we'll see the Pesachim say the same thing. We would think that they should qualify as soft. Okay, which is to say is if you cut a piece of meat with a non kosher knife, or I guess with a nuchuk knife, or a piece of fish, then you have to get, it's not charef, you have to get the be'en off, you have to get the be'en off at the point of contact. You can't do hadacha because it has the softness which will absorb the grease. So instead you would think you should have to grate it. That's what people think you'd have to do. The problem is, well, the question is, that the Gemara in Chulin on the Ches, that's way back at the beginning of Chulin, says you can do hadacha. Okay, we'll see more about this Gemara in a second, but the Gemara says is that if you cut a piece of meat, and it's a trafe knife, and it's cold, then, essentially, the Gemara, according to Sheet that says it's cold, assuming it's cold, then you just do hadacha. So what's going on here? I've just been telling you that the Gemara says on Kofi Beis that if you have something soft, cut with a knife that's fleshig, or not kosher, same thing, then you have to do greira because it's soft, and you have to worry about the grease that got sort of absorbed in. So I think that the answer is that totally independent of this, nothing to do with our questions, but having to do within that sugi itself, the Rashba says, we spoke about this when we learned about Shechita, the Rashba says is that the word, when that Gemara says hadacha, it doesn't mean rinsing off. He has a raya from within the sugi, it's not relevant to us. The hadacha does not mean rinsing off. As an aside, presumably from the sin, why did the Gemara use that funny word, hadacha, if it didn't mean it? It meant hadacha because it's a machlokas in the Gemara there, what you have to do. One sheet that says hadacha, and one sheet that says klipa. So hadacha is just saying you don't need to go as dramatic as klipa, you can get away with hadacha. So that it's just, hadacha means to say some kind of rinsing. But it doesn't mean hadacha like an arkamar. It doesn't mean a simple rinsing. And the Rashi says what it means there is, it means shif shif godol biyadayim heitev. You need to have vigorous scrubbing with your hands, together with your hands rubbing along it also. Okay, so it's much more serious than a plain hadacha. And we could say, it seemingly, that when we worry about that grease gets absorbed, sort of soaks into the meat, or the fish, or the thing that's soft, you could do that. One way to take care of that problem is through greira, but you can also do this intense scrubbing, this vigorous scrubbing, and that will also do the same trick. Now, we could see something like this, the Chavis Yar, who says, fish and meat, actually, they're too soft to do greira, which is to say is, meaning that they obviously they're not soft, totally soft, like I said, like cottage cheese. If they were, otherwise it wouldn't be duchel sakina at all. So they're hard enough, they're duchel sakina, but they're too soft for greira, so you can't scrape off a layer. He says, ki levakusam yesh lemme legarra, or okay, but he's saying that about meat and fish, two different things. So there's obviously the tuchel sakina, but they're hard, but they're not hard enough that they could actually be scraped. So what are you going to do now? You can't do greira. You can't, hadacha is not enough, and you can't do greira, because greira physically is not possible to do. So what should you do? So the right thing to do would be to take a kate klipa, which is a layer that's thick enough. Kate klipa, we're going to talk about kate klipa in a second. Kate klipa is thick enough that you could hold the whole layer in your hands. It could like hold itself together, and you'd be able to hold it in your hands. He says, that's what you should really do, because you need greira, you can't do greira, so you would have to do kate klipa. He says, but sometimes a fish is so oily that in order to get off a piece that would hold together, the oily part is not going to hold together, so you'd basically be cutting off the whole fish. It wouldn't be work. That's an important part of the Chavis Yar that's interesting. When the Pesachim Tshuva brings this Chavis Yar, he doesn't bring that part of the question. But the Chavis Yar makes it clear that that's the reason why that the reason this fish was mufla b'shamnunis, it was so fatty that there was no way to get off a kadeh. He says, if you cut off a kadeh klipa, you'd have nothing left to the fish. You'd hold in your hands. So he says, so since you really need to do greira, you can't do greira because the fish is too soft, and you can't do kadeh klipa because it's not going to, you'll lose your whole fish. So he says, what you should do is, you should do a really good scrubbing, and he says words that sound, that echo, he doesn't bring the Rashi, but it sounds like, almost like the Rashi, he says, okay, so it sure sounds like very much like the Rashi using the same word to be Meshavshif and to do it really well, And it's not very much like the Rashba. So that's what he thinks you should do. And then he says, he asks actually from the Ran, but anyway, then he says is that if you want to be even better, what you should do is, instead of just doing this big shift, what you should do is you should rinse it off with water. But to solve the Ran's problem, which is that it'll help palm actually get too absorbed too much, what you should do is you should rub a knife that push a knife blade sideways across the meat while you're doing this, so to dislodge anything, to flush and dislodge and flush out any grease that's there. So while the water's running over it, you're running the side of a blade of a knife along the meat, so what'll happen is any grease that came off the knife, that came off the original knife, the trafe knife, that's now in the meat, instead of getting pushed further in, will get loosened and will get flushed out with the water. Okay, so this question. So we've seen here that you should do, if it's not possible to do graver, you have something soft enough that you can't do hadacha, you have to do graver. So you should really do klipa. That's our first choice. Otherwise, this shif gadol, or the chavetz yarech. Or this other idea, the chavetz yarech says that maybe you rinse the meat and fish and you scrape with the side of the knife to as another way to avoid this. Okay, all those are ways, because this is something that's hard and soft to someplace in the middle there. You know, this issue of what do you do with a piece of fish that was cut with a non-kosher knife is very negative to someone who buys fish, kosher fish, in a non-kosher fish store. Mitzvah Hashem, that will be, I don't think we'll do it today, I think that's going to be next time. Okay, we might have to do with that. Okay, so now we're not finished yet. So we so far mentioned Gemara that talked about doing Hadacha, Gemara about doing Gerera, the Gemara about for Tavachar, that you have, it's Gedei Kulay or Gedei Netila. Then we saw here in the Chavetz Yarech, together sort of with the Rashba, that for things that are like sort of in between, in these special cases of meat and fish, and maybe cheese, we need to do shif gadol. Okay, now, this Gemara that I mentioned beforehand, on the Ches, that talked about cutting meat with a knife, is going to teach us some other things also. Okay, now, what's going on in that Gemara is, the Gemara talked about a person did shechita with a knife, with a non-kosher knife, a goy's knife, and that's a machlokes, as I mentioned, whether you have to do kedei klipa or you do hadacha. And the Gemara has different pshatim as to what the machlokes is. One pshat is the basic shechita had or not. One has different things. And the machaber is mekel. He says that the ikra din is you could be mekel and call what we do hadacha or the shifshuf gadol. The Machaber says it's better to be Machmir, and the Ramah says that the Ikra didn't like to be the Machmir. But what's going to come out is that from the discussion of the Gemara, we're going to get some other cases that both need to be, that you have to go for Kedei Klipa, okay? Which is more than anything, not everything, but almost everything we said until now. Except for the case of Davacharev, nothing needed Kedei Klipa is going to be more than anything our Gemara had said before. Okay, so two cases that come out of the Gemara. Now, there are other cases, all over Shulchan Aruch talks about where you need Kedei Klipa, nothing to do with cutting with knives, like the Dintal Gavar, or Malicha, or certain Kavash, or Irik Levishin, a bunch of different cases that there's a din with Blue Eagles Kedei Klipa, but for cutting with knives, we're going to pull out two more cases from this, Shulchan Aruch brings, these two more cases that come out of this Gemara. One is like this. If a person would take a treif knife, or a milchig knife, and within 24 hours of that milchig knife being used for hot milchigs, he cut a hot piece of meat. So then the bli is kedei kulay. That's simple. Okay, the bli goes all the way through. Fine. What happens if he cut the meat when the knife was ein binyamin? It had been used for milchigs, and more than 24 hours later, he cut a piece of meat. So none of the bli is going to cause a problem for the meat, because it's ein binyamin. Once it's ein binyamin, no problems with blias. But what we still have to worry about is what we've been talking about this whole time, is that there's the end on the knife. Knives are assumed to be dirty. If the knife is dirty, we have to get that end off. So here the din is, you have to take off a kedei klipa. That is to say, the meat is not charef, but since the meat is hot, therefore, the end that was on the knife gets absorbed kedei netila. Okay, and as I said beforehand, it's absorbed kedei klipa. Ooh, I wrote that wrong. Okay, kedei klipa. which is to say is, you have to take off a layer that's thick enough that you could, if you pull it off, it would come off, it would hold together in one piece, okay? That's how I have to explain. It's more than gvira, okay? It's more than we said to about gvira, okay? So since the meat is hot, it's not karev. And but since the meat is hot, the grease that was on the edge of the knife gets absorbed a little further in, and it goes into the klipa. Okay, now, that's one case of the Gemara. Before I go on to the Gemara, why, if I told you if it's hot and there's grease on there, why does it go in kidei kulei? What happened there? Why is it only going to make klipa anyhow? The Taz brings two tzurtzim, just as a sort of an aside. The Taz brings two tzurtzim, either because there's so little grease on the knife that doesn't go very far. You know, theoretically, it could go kidei kulei, but there's just so little. That's what the Bach says. The Taz brings from the Bach that there's so little that doesn't go through, or the other choice is that it actually does go through. The Taz says it's only two. It really does go through, but the amount that goes through is so little that it's batel b'shishim. Okay, a variation of what the Bach said. But on the edge, on the kidei klipa, there's a thicker concentration, and that layer, it's not batel b'shishim, so you have to take off the kidei klipa. Okay, the other thing is, the Rama said another case where you have to take off the kidei klipa is what happens if you cut meat that was hot, but it was only in a klisheni, then, so usually we'd say no tam can transfer into klisheni, but since it's tuchel sarkin together with klisheni, that's enough to make a tam transfer to the klipa, and I wanted to point out that this is assuming that you don't hold a double, that there's no special chumra of a double gush, which is what the Ramoshi. Okay, so we've heard, I said, a whole bunch of different ways of how much bleed could be absorbed. I'm sorry, how much bleed, what you have to do to get rid of the bleed that's be'en on the knife. The be'en that's from the knife, they got onto the food when it's not charef. If it's charef, you maybe have to kidei kulei or kidei netila. But if it's a hard thing that was not charef, you do hadacha. If it was a soft thing that was not charef, then you have to do gerera. If it's a soft thing that's not charef, that you need to do gerera, but you physically can't do gerera, then we do shif shof or we think with the knife. And if it's not charef, and the soft is not the issue, but the problem is that it was hot, then you potentially, and there's no power of bleas because it's ain't ben yamin, then what you have to do is you have to take kidei netila. You have to take off kidei klipa, Now, the whole time we've been talking about this concern that there's be'en left on the knife. The way Rashi says that this is Rashi's second shot, that there's be'en left on the knife, he says, pa'amim sha'asham nunus karashala ve'inu nikar, that there's times that the grease is like caked onto the blade, but you can't notice it very easily. And that's why you were concerned that transfers from the knife onto the food that you cut. Okay, and the truth is, there's a Gemara, another Gemara, nothing to do with our kind of cases, that says that there's enough grease left on the edge of a knife that you could cut it off and make an ear of tafshik with it. That's so much left on the edge of the knife that there's not something you could actually hold in your hand and make an ear of tafshik with it. Okay, so the everybody else, lots of other people explain this Rashi. The Shach says it in Simon Yud, but everybody, lots of people say this, that, you know, usually we assume that kalim, pots and pans and dishes and all kinds of things like that are clean and there's no be'en left in them. We make an assumption, unless we know otherwise, we assume things kalim are clean. But knives are different, and we assume a knife is not clean. Okay, so therefore, even if a knife is ain't b'nyayim, so there's no problems of bleeds coming out because ain't b'nyayim, but if we use a knife to cut food, we assume some of the grease that was left on the knife, some of the stuff left stuck onto the knife, some of that transferred onto the food, and now we have to get rid of it through our hadacha or grera, etc., all those kind of things like that. Okay, now, the simple understanding is that the problem is, like I just said, that people don't clean their knives very well. If you don't clean your knife, then there's going to be be'en left on it. So if that was the whole thing, then the Gemara, if you wanted to tell a person what should he do to use his knife that was used for treif or fleshing, what should he do? So you would say the person should do is he should clean it. If the problem is that people just don't clean their knives, they just use them and they don't clean them between uses, then what should you say to fix the problem? How do you use a knife that was used beforehand for something that was not kosher? The answer would be you should clean it. But that's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara at the end of Avodah Zarah says that if you want to make your knife that was used for treif fit to be used for kosher, it says you have to do ne'itza. Ne'itza means you stick it into the ground. You take ground that's a little hard and a little soft, and you poke it into the ground 10 times, and it's dirt that's pretty hard but not too soft, not too hard, And the idea here is, what's going on here with this ne'itza thing? What is that? The answer is that the way that tam, that the end got stuck onto the knife because you cut a hard thing. So cutting hard things causes things to get stuck onto a knife that don't get, not in the way that gets stuck onto a plate. So it's not just that you don't clean the knife when it gets dirty. It's that things get stuck on much harder than they would to something else. And the only way to a regular cleaning is not going to get it off. So it's not just a matter that you don't clean it. It's that what you do to clean is not going to do the trick. It's not going to be good enough to get it clean. The cleaning that you do won't do the trick. So what you have to do is scrape the knife with something abrasive, something hard, in order to get the just like the end got caked on by cutting. So you have to sort of do the same thing, push it into the hard sand as a way of cutting again with something that will scrape off the band on the knife. So it's not just that knives that we don't clean our knives. It's that even if we would clean our knife, wouldn't do the trick. Cleaning the knife is only half the problem. The knife is not clean, not just because we didn't clean it. It's not clean because the cleaning we would do won't do the trick. And the band is so caked on, it's karish alav, like Rashi says, the shalunis is karish alav in a way that our cleaning is not going to do the trick, and we need this extra special cleaning called ne'itza, which we spoke about when we learned Tagol's Kelim, exactly how to do it. But the point is, it's not a regular cleaning. You have to do something more than that. Now, the Gemara doesn't say pasuk. This doesn't count. Kagola and Libun are based on psukim. The idea of ne'itza doesn't come from a pasuk. It's a practical thing. Okay, it's a practical thing or something logical that in order to get off this the end that got caked on because you cut through something hard, you have to run it through this abrasive, stick it into the abrasive 10 times, and that'll get it clean. So a lot of people assume that you can find other eitzes that do the same idea. For example, if you have in a cheese factory, so the cheese is produced in blocks, and you want to slice it into slices that people could use at home. So they don't slice it with a knife, but with a traditional knife. What they do is they have cheese wires, these thin wires that are very taut. And you push the cheese through the wire, and that cuts, the wires are stationary, and you force the cheese through the wire, and that cuts the cheese into the slices that you want to make. Okay, so the wires are essentially functioning like knives. They have duchel zakin, they push through the cheese to make the slices. But it's impossible, physically impossible to do ne'itza them. You can't stick a wire into the ground, thrust it into the ground like a knife. It's not possible. So what you do is, you clean them with steel wool. And the idea is, it's a reverse ne'itza. Instead of pushing the knife into the abrasive soil, instead you put you scrub the abrasive, in this case it's the steel wool, abrasive against the knife. You get the same idea. Instead of the Gemara sticking the knife into the soil, you stick the soil into the knife. Okay, so for a knife, it's easier to do it by ne'itza into the ground. For these wires, it's easier to do it with the steel wool against the wires to get all of the end off of them. And similarly, Feynman said to me that if you wash it with soap and water and a sponge, that's not abrasive. The point here is not that soap and water don't work because they're abrasive. The point is not that the sponge is abrasive. The point is that soap works in its own way. It gets rid of the end. Gets rid of grease. So the point is if we can get rid of the end that got caked on, we have a way to cake regular, just like rinsing it off in the sink is not going to do the trick. On a plate, that it might work, use a little, just a sponge or a shmata and clean up a plate, that might do the trick. But for a knife, it's not going to do it. The stuff is it's baked on too strong. So you have to do something more. So we do an itza, we could do steel wool, or we could do soap and water. Okay? But there is a shayla on the paiskim, that what happens if somebody, clean the knife with water and a sponge, okay? Not soap, not steel wool. And in his mind, he thinks it's clean, okay? He didn't just do the regular clean like anybody else does. He did, to him, it sure seems like it's clean, okay? So some of the Achronim say, I'll give you names in a second, some of them say is that that's good enough, especially Bidiyeva, that's good enough. I mean, maybe those who say Bidiyeva will say, the Gemara's in the Itza is just a lechatchila. You should do an Itza, but if you think that you got it clean, and even if you didn't do an Itza or anything, any substitute, that's good enough. And they'll understand that the Gemara is going to tochel sakin, all these Gemara are talking about at the end, it's talking about if you didn't do a special cleaning, you just did the regular everyday cleaning, you didn't do anything special, then you assume that there's be'en on it. But if you clean it special and you know it was clean, then they hold that it's okay. For example, the Ramah in Teres Chata says that if a knife is clean enough that the water, if you put water onto it, it just flows off, then that's a sign that it's clean. As in contrast to a knife that's not so well clean, the water will bead together. If you want to know the science of why it beads together, it's supposedly because the water is polar, that attracts the water attracts to itself. Usually, but also that's called adhesion. That's called cohesion. And other, if there's nothing on the knife, then it has cohesion to the, it has adhesion, to the blade, and it rolls off. Those forces work against each other. When there's grease on the blade, and that makes it to be nonpolar, then the beads just attach to each other, and they don't roll off. Okay? Whether the science is right or not, I'm not sure, but that's what I think. Well, that's what I understand. So, the point is, the Ramah says that if the water beads together and doesn't flow off so smoothly, then you know that there's still be'en on there. But if you got it clean well enough that the water flows right off, if it flows right off very smoothly, then you got it clean and you don't have to worry about this be'en, this issue of be'en anymore. Some of the Achronim, the Pichadash, and the Chazakov there, which Rabbi Krieger brings in Shulchan Aruch and the Yehuda, say, one of the days in the Yehuda, one of the days in the Kiriger, say that it's okay for the Yevit. If you did that kind of cleaning, it's okay for the Yevit, but Lechatchila, what the Gemara says, that you have to do an Itza, and the Shulchan Aruch brings that you have to do an Itza, that means Lechatchila, you must do an Itza, but for the Yevit, if you knew that you got it clean, that would be good enough. And Kiriger then brings, but that Tzvua Shor says, that's not true, and that even if the evidence is no good, the only way that you can get the knife clean is to do an itza, or one of the other things we mentioned. He would probably agree that you could do the soap and the steel wool. The point is just a cleaning, that you just think that I did a cleaning and I did it good enough without any special instrument or tool or method. I just did regular cleaning, or I just did a little bit better. That would not be good enough. Okay, all this, as you can imagine, we can have practical applications, and those applications will, Mirza Shem, be for next time.